Welcome to Daily Devotion with Ken Gurley. Devotions designed to inspire you on your daily walk with God. Each day we walk through the vital principles of the abundant life. Our Lord can do above and beyond all we ask or think. Here's your host, Ken Gurley.
I went back the other day and reviewed a book that I had read years before, Intoxicated with Babylon, The Seduction of God's People in the Last Days. And it struck me again the stark contrast between God and the world. The book began with a quote from Andrew Bonar, "I looked for the church and found it in the world. I looked for the world and found it in the church." It reminds me of that lengthy poem by Matilda Edwards. The opening two stanzas go like this. "The church and the world walked far apart on the changing shores of time. The world was singing a giddy song and the church a hymn sublime. Come give me your hand, said the merry world, and walk with me this way. But the faithful church hid her gentle hands and solemnly answered, nay." And through the poem, the seduction of God's people continues until there was no difference between the world and the people of God. The church was in the world and the world was in the church. Let me just stop here and say, when I say that, I don't look at a particular local congregation. I don't look at someone else. I look at me and I say, is this true in my own life? Because I'm a member of the church, a member of the body of Christ. Could a love for this world displace my love for God? That's what I want. I want a love for God like nothing else. Hello, my name is Ken Gurley, and all of this week on Daily Devotion, we're discussing a nation arising and what it will take to see the great awakening in our midst. It's one of the most comprehensive statements ever made in Scripture. John said it. Do not love the world or anything in the world. You walk through some of the verses in Scripture dealing with this subject of the world. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Paul said, the world has been crucified to me. Paul said, you formerly walked according to the course of this world. To the Corinthians, he said, do not be bound together with unbelievers. James said, keep yourself unstained by the world. Paul again said, do not be conformed to this world. He said that to the believers in Rome. And then to the Corinthians, come out from their midst and be separate. Then that apostle of love, John, says, don't love the world. Don't love the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Read that pitiful cry of Paul toward the end of his life. Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me. Or James said, a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Jesus said you could gain the whole world and lose your own soul. Paul said that our struggle is against the worldly forces of darkness. John said, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Peter said they have escaped the defilements of the world. Jesus said the world's hated them. They're not of this world. The writer of Hebrews, men of whom the world was not worthy. John, do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. That assortment of New Testament scriptures should make us realize we are on firm footing when we say God does not want us in love with the world. And that's where Babylon comes in. Intoxicated with Babylon. Babylon is perhaps the best single word description of the world in the Bible. Babylon represents the sin of the world, the intoxicating influences and pernicious draw of the world. Babylon is seen in the last book of the Bible. Heaven announces that when the forces of evil are crushed, Babylon has fallen. And in its primitive form, it's seen in the book of Genesis. So from the first to the last, we see the competing interests for the hearts of believers. Babylon, portrayed as a harlot in Revelation, in contrast to the white-gowned bride of Christ, the church. It was after the great flood in the 9th chapter of Genesis, we read a great commission of sorts given to Noah's family. be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. Yet one of the descendants, a great-grandson of Noah, named Nimrod, rebelled against this commandment to go forth and multiply. He dominated the other tribes, gathered them together, and built the world's first city, whose chief attraction was a tower that would reach the heavens, and this city would become a hub that defied God's commandment to scatter and fill the earth. The tower, said Nimrod, would be so high that no flood could tower over it. Soon this arm of the flesh attracted other features, its own religion with many gods, a worship of the host of heaven, the stars, astrology. Nimrod, king of Babylon, had a queen, Semiramis. After Nimrod's death, it's said, Semiramis had a child named Tammuz, who she announced to be the resurrection of Nimrod. And from this, we are told in ancient history, came all of the mystery religions, the descendants of Babylon. The researcher David B. Barrett identified 19 major world religions subdivided into about 10,000 distinct religions and 34,000 denominations in Christendom alone. Oh my, because Babel is confusion. So perhaps we can understand why in Revelation 17, we read that Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth, down through the ages, God's people have fallen under the spell of physical and spiritual Babylon. Because Babylon is not merely a physical location, it's a philosophy. It's a love for this present life, a love for the world. It's a rebellion against God's commands. In the Bible, we read of people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Ezekiel, all in Babylon. Babylon is dangerous. It's a place of tears. Psalmist said, there we sat down, yea, we wept. Why the tears? Why the tears? The Israelites were in exile there for 70 years. They shed tears over their rebellion against God, over how far they had drifted from Him into loving the world. Babylon is a place of what might have been. They remembered Zion left behind, the crown jewel of God's promise, the place out of nowhere that God gave them as their very own. Babylon is the place of giving up. We hung our harps on the willows. We gave up on worship, gave up on going back, gave up on restoring what we once had. It's the truth. We are seeing a giving up spirit hit like never before. Parents ready to give up over their wayward children. Spouses ready to give up on their marriage. Men who sense their opportunity has passed. The gold ring or gold watch no longer within reach. Women who believe that a happy marriage or home or a fulfilled life have passed them by. It's a lot of giving up lately. You ought to pray for spiritual leaders. I've heard a lot of people lately just feel like giving up. You see, this is the danger of the Babylonian spirit, the danger of this present darkness, this ever-pervasive world around us. Babylon is a place of tears, a place of regrets, a place of giving up. It's a place of bondage as well. For there they carried us away captive. They required of us a song. And this is a difficulty we face with the world. Christ brings freedom, but the world brings captivity. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty and freedom. Where the love of the world is, there is bondage. They required from us a song. A slave to the whims and desires of a worldly system. It's all about lordship. Who will be in control of our lives? Is the world the Lord of our lives? Are we to bow down and worship the God of this world? Or will we let the Lord God Almighty be Lord of it all? This is why we must leave Babylon. Leave this behind. In Daniel's vision, Babylon was the head of gold, the apex of the worldly system, the kingdoms of this world. But a stone cut out without hands would fall from the heights and obliterate the kingdoms of this world. Therefore, the righteous cannot be associated with this world, or they too would be destroyed. Listen to the major prophets warn of that. Isaiah 21, Babylon has fallen, and all the carved images of her gods have been broken to the ground. Jeremiah, declare among the nations, proclaim and set up a standard, proclaim, do not conceal it, Babylon is taken. The prophets commanded the Israelites to flee from Babylon. Isaiah 48, go forth from Babylon, flee from the Chaldees. In another place, Isaiah said, depart, depart, go out from here. Don't touch the unclean thing. You who bear the vessels of the Lord, be clean. Jeremiah prophesied the day of the return when God's people fled from Babylon and asked, how do we get to Zion? And once directed, they come weeping and singing to Zion. So Jeremiah said, forsake Babylon. Her judgment reaches to the heavens and is lifted up to the skies. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Then Zechariah captures the intensity of the call to leave Babylon. Up, Zion, escape you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. In other words, there will still be a remnant of godly people, people who are not intoxicated with Babylon, people who did not bow down and worship the gods of this world, people who were not caught up in the power, prestige, and popularity, sensuality, and idolatry of modern age. Then you come to Revelation in chapter 14, and you're going to see the fall of the world system where it said, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she has made all nations drink of the wine and the wrath of her fornication. Then in Revelation 18, the voice is heard, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. How, though, do we flee from Babylon? The Bible tells us, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. How do you exit Babylon? Paul said, by not being unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? What part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Belial means the lawless one. You see, the forces of Babylon, the religious evil of this world, are looking for the lawless one, the false prophet, the Antichrist. We can't be a part of a system that has Antichrist on its throne and not the Lord Jesus Christ. So we leave it behind. I like the attitude and practices revealed by Jude. And indeed, have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy tempered with fear, hating even the clothing stained by flesh. And then he says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you unblemished in his glorious presence with great joy. You can live holy and have mercy. You can reach the lost and not be stained by the flesh. Leaving Babylon, that's our role, that's our job, to turn from this world, draw closer to God. And can I say, it's in that turn toward God that purchases hope for this very world. Because as you and I, believers, set our gaze and our affections on the Lord Jesus Christ, we truly become the light of the world, and people are drawn to the Lord through us. Leave Babylon, get close to God, and you will save many in Babylon.
Thank you for sharing in daily devotion with Ken Gurley. We pray this ministry has been a source of encouragement and strength to you. Please be mindful that your financial support enables us to meet with you each day. To give a donation or connect with us, visit our website at kengurley.com. There you will also find the latest books, podcasts, and resources. Blessed 90 Days to Change Your World is Pastor Gurley's latest book. You can get your copy of this life-changing book at kengurley.com. May God's favor rest on you in every way until we meet again.